Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me today to 2 Thessalonians? I'm going to today, and we'll pick this up in the future, but I don't know if you sense and realize the things that are starting to line up in prophecy. It's an amazing thing. This last meeting in Davos, of all the nations that came together there, reiterated what they had already signed the previous year, a year ago, March in 2022, the moving to a digital universal currency. Now, there's been talk through the years of doing that, but this would be digital. In other words, it would be controlled by a central government agency. The Biden administration announced this week that they have been working on the last 2 years a digital dollar for the United States. A central currency that would be controlled through the United States Treasury Department. And what's interesting about it is that they would know exactly how much money you have, and they would have some degree of control about what you purchase. So if you want to go buy a gun and they don't want you to buy that, they will not allow you to be able to use that. And it is a major, major push right now to move to a digital dollar, do away with cash, do away with coins and so forth. And the Biden administration announced yesterday that they believe that that will take place within the next year. Now, they also added this caveat, which was interesting in the article that I read in one of the economic magazines, that it would flow seamlessly with a universal currency. All right? It would flow seamlessly with a universal currency. Now, what does the Bible talk about when Antichrist takes control? It talks about the mark of the beast. All right? The mark of the beast controls everything we purchase, controls our money. And the number 666 is associated with that, which has always intrigued me. Why a number that appears in the hand or in the forehead? And of course, we see all the technology is there for that. Several of the major companies now are requiring their employees to have these digital implants put in the hand or in the forehead. They know who they are. They can go through security with that kind of stuff. And this is already out there. Matter of fact, Germany is the leading country right now for this technology, and it's used throughout their government systems, our military. Many of our military, the SEAL Team 6, all of them have implants that allow them to be able to find out where they are at any time. Our Army Rangers have them. So this is stuff that used to be sci-fi. And the other day, I watched the part of an old black and white sci-fi movie. How many of you ever watched those? It is hilarious. All right. Let's get into the rocket now. And they have this tin rocket that they climb into, and they put on this stupid-looking crash helmet, and the rocket goes off, you know, and they've got these flames shooting out, and the person, they've got it rocking back and forth, you know, and back in the 50s when that stuff was coming out, they said, "Wow!" You know, and we look at it and say, "Whoa!" they actually watch that, you know? And we have watched the technology change through the years, but now everything that has been prophesied about currency, about technology, about the ability for everyone in the world to see what's going on in real time is available right now. It's available right now. I think we are very close to the rapture. And I think God's people need not live in fear, but live with hope. And a realization that God has promised a crown to those that look for His appearing. I would love for all of us to have a crown to cast at Jesus' feet related to this one subject here, and that is being ready for the rapture. You know, to be ready for something, you got to be thinking about it. All right? If you're going to get ready to go on vacation, you don't wait till the night before and say, "You know what, we really should get some hotels. And you know, we really should probably pack something Honey, do we have any money in the bank account? You don't do that, right? That would be stupid. People don't do that. They plan out and they're thinking about it, and then the day arrives. And you put all the kids in the car and you take off, and all that stuff's supposed to be taken care of because you thought about it. You know how many Christians today are sitting in churches that don't believe there's a rapture? They don't believe that there's going to be a rapture. They're not thinking about it. They're not planning for it. All they're doing is living for right now. I want you to know that the Bible has a great deal to say about the rapture. But I want us to look at the things that are happening right now in our world that indicate that we're very, very close. I want us to look at that. Now, I know it's a lot to be packed in on a chart, but we're going to do it one at a time, make it simple so that we can be able to follow along this. I've got up here dismantling the old order and build up to the new world order. All right? What are they calling it today? They're calling it the Great Reset. How many of you have heard that term in the news? The Great Reset. All right? Worldwide reset. And what are they talking about? They're talking about a centralized government. They're talking about a centralized program for medical alerts like COVID-19. They're talking about all kinds of things like that. So we're in this middle of this great reset. Reset for what? The appearance of Antichrist, the one who's going to unite the world. So let's look over here in this column right here. We're going to do this first. Dismantling the old order. The old order is dismantled and boundaries removed. Oh, how we have watched this. Common sense stuff. Like, there's two genders. That's just common sense. It's, you see it with your eyes, right? You see it with your eyes, but we're denying it today. Oh, no. It's whatever you feel that you are. That is a denial of common sense. So if you get people to disbelieve common sense, they'll believe just about what? Anything. That's what the world is moving to. We believe anything is true. And so they have set out in the public schools of America to bypass parents. They don't want you to make decisions for your children. They are allowing children, and Florida just passed this week a bill, and there's another bill. It's called the Parental Education Rights of Florida, which says that a school cannot transition your child at school without your permission. Now that's common sense. But right now there are schools in our state that are helping students transition, going through the medical department of the public school. They're helping them to transition to become what they are not medically. Can you imagine someone making medical decisions for your child? Surgery? Giving prescriptions to them? This is happening today. It's a dismantling of what we know to be true. So they're at it full slate right now. Judeo-Christian teachings and morality are rejected and vilified as what? Intolerant. Intolerant. We're intolerant people. Well, you know, when it comes to the truth, we don't want to give that up. And they call that intolerance. You're not willing to compromise. You see, people that want you to compromise, they never compromise their faith. They want you to compromise. And this is what Christians need to understand and know. That when someone wants to erode a standard, they always want you to comply. They never ask themselves to comply. Right? They don't want to comply to any standard you have. They want you to compromise. And that's where Christians have to stand up and say, no, wait a minute. That's not right. That's not right. I will not. And they say, oh, that's intolerance. Number three, individuals freed from restraint become selfish and permissive. All you have to do is turn on the news and you see nothing in a broadcast but just selfish people doing selfish things, killing people, hurting people, stealing from people. I mean, awful things are happening. How many of you heard about the shooting this morning up in Alabama, not too far from Birmingham, and all those people that were killed? Now, why are they doing that? Why are we seeing more of this today? Number one, there's little value of life. You understand that? Where did that come from? Abortion. And the teaching that a life inside the womb is not really a life. You see, these things have consequences. We've eroded the belief that a baby inside of a mother's womb is an actual human being. Oh, we deny that. Oh, it's not a human being until it comes out of the birth canal. Well, that's false. Science teaches us that that's false. You harm a puppy, right? We've got all kinds of laws now in the state of Florida about harming animals. You harm a puppy and look out, you're going to prison. You kill a baby in an abortion, it's a mother's right. Let me ask you something. Does that make sense? No. All reason is thrown out. Now, I'm not advocating at all harming an animal. All right? Understand me there. It's the mentality that says, don't hurt that puppy, don't hurt that puppy. And then a baby can be dismembered inside of a womb, and that's all right. That's a mother's right. It makes no sense because it's satanic. Mark this down, folks. The reason that reason is put out is because Satan deceives. He can't have you thinking rightly. You got to think like he does. And he's a moral creature that despises God. And he wants you to be immoral. Because God wants you to be what? Moral. You see how it works? So we throw reason out. Let's go on to another one. Moral depravity, violence, breakdown of family life occurs. Is the family life of Americans broken down? It is unbelievable what's happened to family life in America. And for us to meet together in a church with families and to have our children is almost an anomaly today. Oh, that's weird, you know? Because, and they've constantly in the media picturing these multicultural families with the, I just saw one, I think it was yesterday, that was in the New York Times on their thing, the picture, the new picture of the of American family. And it had a picture of mom, stepmom, dad, stepdad, and then a surrogate godparent. I never heard of all that the stuff. Now they're naming surrogate godparents, and then there was one child in the picture. It takes a village to raise this child. And the article was about how America needs to work on a greater social order in which, you know, all these people that are broken up and divorces and all that stuff can get along better with each other. You know why they can't get along with each other? Wicked human heart. But you'll never hear that. It's always something else. Let's go on. Criminal and abnormal lifestyles become the norm. Dismantling of restrictive laws and police enforcement. That's happened. Christian beliefs phased out within religion to make way for occult practices. That's happening. I don't know if you understand how the occult is honored today by Hollywood. I don't watch the movies, but you see the advertisements of the grotesque creatures and all of the stuff that honor. And in Brazil, just recently, did you notice the big honoring of Satan in which they drug a Jesus through the streets and they were whipping Jesus and they had two devils dragging Jesus through the street and whipping him and beating him and finally killing him at the very end, not in real life, but it was played out, all right? And then it followed up with this horrible-looking, devilish, half-goat, half-Satan picture on a float coming down. It was the final float. The next day, that same street where they had this long parade of devil beating Jesus, All right? That a massive flood that destroyed and flooded that whole region, destroyed most of the houses on that road. And someone posted up, "God will not be mocked." That happened the day after all this happened. What is this connection with the occult? This love of Satan? Where is it coming from? When you don't have the Lord Jesus taught in homes in America, and moms and dads, you better pay attention to this. If Jesus only comes up on Sunday, you're going to lose your kids to the world. Mark it down, you're going to lose your kids to the world. The Lord Jesus needs to live in the home every day 24/7. That's the only way you can raise kids and have them turn out right for the Lord Jesus Christ. This, you know, take it or leave it type Christianity, where we live like little devils all week long and we do our own thing and we're not interested in doing our devotions and we're not interested in doing those kind of things. You're going to lose your kids. They're going to follow Satan. And that's what we see today. We're losing our kids to satanic beliefs. Excessive, now get this, democratization and human rights promote anarchy. Now, you would think Israel being the only democracy in the Middle East, you would think that there would be some people that would be pro-Israel for that. No. Israel right now is in a state of anarchy. There's a gentleman that I watch videos from every once in a while who's a prophecy teacher. He just got back from Israel and said they were spared. They had two rockets that landed just within 100 yards from them. Thankfully, they said the windows were blown out on their car, but they were not injured themselves. They made it safely back to the United States. And he said, "I have never seen Israel in such a state of chaos as today. They're in chaos because of the enemies around them, but they're in chaos internally." Chaos internally. Young people refusing to serve their 2 years in the military. Right now, they're having to call up 40s and 50-year-old people to come back into the military because the young people, Gen Z, they're not wanting to fight. And Israel and the leadership of Israel, they're in a terrible fix right now. How are we going to fight off our enemies if our young people refuse to fight? It's a disaster waiting to happen. How does that play into prophecy? All right? Gog and Magog won. The enemies come up against Israel at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period. God pours down fire from heaven. Antichrist takes credit for it. Said, "I have defended this nation. I have taken care of Israel." And so Israel embraces Antichrist. You have 3.5 years of peace. All right? Then he breaks the treaty with Israel. And then the time of Jacob's trouble, the worst part of the tribulation, takes place. How does it all start? It starts by Antichrist taking credit for defending Israel, who at that time cannot defend herself. Now, how can she not defend herself? Crumbles from within. You don't have fighters. And we're facing the same thing, by the way, in America. We're facing the same thing. Every branch of the military, I read about this all the time, every branch of the military is not meeting their quotas for what they need to replace those that are going out. And now they're talking about the possibility of extending people through legislation to stay in the military longer and not retiring them so soon because they don't have enough people that want to fight. And that's sad. But that's where we're at. I'm making a case this morning. All right? I'm making a case that the rapture is very soon. All these things are happening. Corruption and abuse of power become general trends. That happening? Wow, is it ever. Sexual and gender differences are denied in many areas of public life. Nations lose their ethnic, cultural, and political identities. Everybody following that? Why are they doing that? You can't have a one-world government if you have people that are staunchly. That's one of the things that I've been watching in the news about the hatred of the liberal media for Ron DeSantis. And what word do they constantly associate with him? authoritarian. They hate that. You're not willing to compromise and fit in with us. All right? You're authoritarian. Authoritarian is something that's hated and despised in this world. And basically, authoritarian is just having law and order. You know? Law and order. What is going on? No law and order. Because we call law and order authoritarian. You don't let us do what we want to do. Nations lose their ethnic, cultural, and political identities. Israel is condemned, and the hatred of Jews rapidly increases, leading to Antichrist coming to the aid of Israel as purveyor of security and peace. Now, that's the dismantling that's taking place. You can't have a new world order until you get rid of the old world order. Okay? Just like we couldn't have a New Testament until the Old Testament, all right, testator passed, Jesus. He rose again. We have a New Testament. Jesus is the New Testament written in His blood, the Bible tells us. So let's go over here. The buildup. The establishment of the Great Reset for the purpose of international unity. All right? The big unifier right now seems to be climate change. All right? They want everybody to go to electric cars. They want everybody to have battery-operated this. How many of you have watched in the news the number of e-bikes that have caught on fire and the fire departments can't put the fires out? They have to push them to one side. And they're telling people, do not park your e-bike inside your house. Okay, lithium is a very unstable energy base. And if you leave them inside your house and they catch on fire, you can't put it out. Same thing with electric cars. If they get wet, they cross circuit, and then you have a fire that you can't put out. It just will continue to burn. But they want us to move to all that, and it takes more energy to dig lithium for batteries than it does to dig for oil. But let's go to that purpose. How are we going to run the tractors and the big trucks? How are we going to run those? The battery-operated trucks won't pull the hat off of your head, much less pull a trailer loaded with rocks and stuff. So, interesting. The promotion of Bible-purged global reset values in all countries. Get that. Bible-purged. Perfectly legitimate to lie. I don't know if you saw this in the news today. How many of you have been following the AI, the artificial intelligence, chatbots, and all those things that are out there, that AI? Now we find out that the Russians and the Chinese have taught their AI to lie. Okay? They put it into them to lie, to never tell the truth. Isn't it interesting that in the Bible, it tells us that at the very end, that if it were possible, the elect would even be deceived? Yeah. That everyone believes the lie? AI figures into this. Understand, artificial intelligence figures into Antichrist and all this work, 666, okay? Mechanism of computers and AI and artificial intelligence. It's all coming together. Here's a big word that you hear about a lot. Multicultural, Babylonian-style societies emerge everywhere. Humanistic freedom within a new charter of human rights. Crime is contained by special government forces without moral reformation. We determine what a crime is. All right? No one should live above the law. That's what that prosecutor up in New York said. No one should live above the law, and yet he's letting felons out all the time. They're supposed to have some kind of a congressional meeting this week, and they're bringing in several of the lawyers that worked for the state of New York and talked about the downgrading of felonies down to misdemeanors and how many crimes now have been committed since those things are happening. And he goes out and says, no one should live above the law. What are they doing? They're deciding what is a violation and what is not. Who gets to decide that? The Attorney General gets to decide that? One man? Wow. What are we leading to? Antichrist. Crime is contained by special government forces, Bible replaced by non-Christian religions and mysticism. Nations lose their sovereignty under a world government. Military power is used to enforce the New World Order. Sexual and gender equality enforced through radical measures. What is the account that's given to us in Genesis chapter 17 of Sodom and Gomorrah? How that the people of the city were watching when new people arrived. This is interesting to me. As I read through that passage again, there in 17, 18, and 19 of Genesis, and you see, a knock came at the door. And these individuals that had gone into Lot's house, have them come out to us. All right? Who are these people? And he sends out his daughter. And the immorality that takes place there. But who are these people that come and knock on the door in Sodom and Gomorrah? And Lot, what? Yeah. In power. They had the know. They were in the know. By the way, that city, Sodom and Gomorrah, was not a little tiny, you know, Milton, Florida, out there on the plains. It was a massive city. It was interconnected with communication. They could tell when anybody new showed up. And their perversions overwhelmed them. Somebody new, fresh meat. All right? That's another phrase that's used quite often today in our world, fresh meat. All right? Looking for young people that they can convert to their way of life. Sexual and gender equality enforced through radical measures. National identities become submerged in a world culture. No longer nations. We read about that in the book of Revelation and also in the book of Daniel, where the nations all join together and they kind of lose their identity in order to have the identity of the Antichrist. And then enforcement of the New World Order leads to the first Gog and Magog War, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Where you have this gathering of nations that come up against Israel. Wow, what are we seeing today? You see Russia and Iran in Syria. Who's supplying Russian the things that we found out this past week that China is giving to Russia armament to fight in Ukraine? We've got a new world order happening here. And what happens to the United States of America? North America, South America, they just don't figure in prophecy. You don't see a lot of that. And that's why some people say, well, that means that we're a long way away from anything happening. How long does it take for a nation to crumble? Look at Ukraine right now. 1 year. It's in ruins. You look at the drone footage of all the major cities right now in Ukraine, and it's nothing but burned out hulks of cities. It almost looks like a Hollywood movie, doesn't it? How did that all happen in 1 year? With conventional weaponry. All right? Not nuclear devices or anything. Conventional weaponry. Basically leveled an entire country. They're doing their best to try to fight off the Russians, but the Russians have got an endless supply of help from all their joint associations. This is important to understand prophecy. These uniting forces together. And what's their common enemy? Israel. They hate Israel. And they hate Christians too. They hate Israel. So, let's move ahead here. The rapture and the second coming differ in two important ways. And you've got to know this as a Christian. You've got to be familiar with this from God's Word. They differ in point in time. This is so, so important. They don't happen at the same time. The rapture of the church, Paul said, was information that was given to him that was a mystery to those in the Old Testament scriptures. You read the book of Galatians, you read the book of Colossians. Both times he mentions the fact that God gave to him. Remember, he went up for 3 years. And God ministered and taught him. And then he talked about the period of time that he spent in heaven. He was caught up into the third heaven. And God gave him this information about things that would happen that were not told in the Old Testament scriptures. And one of them was the rapture. It differs in time. The first coming of the Lord is in the clouds. And that's what brings us to the second thing here. They differ as to their leading characteristics. Now, we're living in the day and age where we deny facts, correct? We're living in that day and age. We deny facts. The sun comes up every morning, all right? And the moon is overhead and the earth is rotating. But we live in this denial of reality where we can say a girl is not really a girl. You want to blow up a liberal's mind? Ask them one question. What is a woman? You talk about dancing? Look, it's not that simple. Oh, it is. It is. So facts matter in the Bible. Facts matter. Leading characteristic, the manner for His coming. He comes in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 for His saints. What about all the unsaved? What about them? What's going to happen to them? You have to ask questions. But the Bible says in the rapture He comes for His saints, and then in the second coming in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, He comes with His saints. How did the saints get up there? You have to ask questions. Well, how did they get up there? They were raptured up there. That's how they got up there. And then they come back with Him in the second coming, riding behind Him. He's on a white horse. He goes down to land in three different locations to judge the earth. And the saints ride with Him. We don't fight, though. He does all the fighting by Himself, alone, the Bible tells us in Revelation. Location. Rapture says that we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And then in one other passage, the clouds. The clouds are in the air. Right? But then in the second coming, the Bible says that He touches down in three locations on the earth. It's important to distinguish facts that are given in the Word of God. Then the destination. The church is taken up to heaven, whereas in the second coming, the saints come down to earth. That's two different directions. We have to understand that. And then the prospect. Why are we caught up together with the Lord in the air? Well, there's some events that are going to take place. First of all, there's going to be the Bema. The Bema. We're told this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. The Bema. And then we have the second coming where He comes in judgment upon His enemies on the earth. The Bema takes place where? In heaven with only His saints. There's not any unsaved there. The Bema. Paul says, these things were shared with me when I was caught up into the third heaven. So these are very important, and I'll just summarize again. Rapture takes place before the revelation of Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Look at this verse of Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. That sounds very much like what we read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and what we read about in John chapter 14. Okay? Let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's not a coming to earth. That's being gathered up and taken up to Him. So we understand these things. Number two, it is a catching up together in the clouds. Dead saints go up first, then living saints, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. How about over here on the second coming, which takes place 7 years after the rapture? Takes place after the rapture. We're told this in Jude 14 and 15, Revelation 4 and verse 1. The timing. Jesus comes and touches down in three locations. This is so clear in the Word of God, but a lot of people don't read the Bible. They allegorize it. So they never really come to understand what it's saying. Right? If you read an article in the news, right? Boy was tragically killed. Was riding a skateboard. He was tragically killed over in Pensacola. All right? I have no authority to say that didn't happen. Do I? Well, it didn't happen. It was probably just a figment of somebody's imagination, or the boy really didn't die, or he really wasn't on a skateboard. No, we're told the facts of the story of what happened. The boy was on a skateboard, and he got hit by a car and killed. Now that, we take that and we say, that really happened. And yet when we come to the Bible, we say, oh, no, it didn't happen. Isaiah 63:1 says that he's going to touch down in Bozra. That's the place of hiding, where some of the remnant of Israel are going to go and hide during the horrible things that are happening right at the very end of the tribulation period. Then he touches down Revelation 16:16 and chapter 19:11-19 in the valley of what? Megiddo. Armageddon. The valley of Megiddo. He goes down there and he mops up the ground and the blood rises up to the bridle of the horses. He does that alone. And then we're told that he also touches down in Jerusalem, Revelation 19. By the way, same passage that records his touching down at Megiddo has him touching down in Jerusalem. And what happens to Jerusalem when he touches down? The mountain splits and a river comes gushing up and it flows all the way down to the Mediterranean Sea. Things are going to happen on that day. When he comes, he touches down in three different places. That's not described over here, is it? Something different. This is described over here. And by the way, this has not already happened. It's not already happened. A lot of people say, oh no, that happened in the first century. When did Jerusalem's mountain split in half and a new river form? Didn't happen. Hasn't happened yet. I could go down a list of about 25 different things that have not happened according to prophecy that are supposed to happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. It hasn't happened yet. Dead saints, no dead saints, this is interesting to me, are mentioned going to meet Christ during the second coming. No mention of dead saints rising from the earth and going to meet the Lord in the second coming. Never a mention of that. So it must be a different event. Some theologians want to say this is two phases of one event. That's fine, as long as they recognize that they're different, have different descriptions. One is in the air, one is on the earth. Very important. All right, we've got 5 minutes left. Can I compare something with you that I think gets missed a lot of times from the book of Revelation? John's rapture in Revelation 4:1, almost identical language to what we find in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. In Revelation 4:1, we hear a voice. Let's turn there very quickly so you can see this. Revelation 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a, everybody say it please, trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. It's the same language that's used in 1 Thessalonians 4, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So we see the language, a voice, a trumpet, come up. And then the rapture of the church, a voice, a trumpet, caught up. Sounds like the rapture, does it not? And from that point on, there is the unfolding of the seven seals, which are the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And then at the middle of that, you have the trumpets, the seven trumpets that sound, and horrible things start happening on the earth. And Israel is targeted by Antichrist. And then after the seventh trumpet sounds, you have the pouring out of the vials or the bowls of wrath that take place in the last, not all, the trumpets and the bowls happen in the last 3.5 years, the time of Jacob's trouble. All right? We've got the same language used of John being caught up into heaven, hearing a voice and a trumpet. Think about these two characters, and I'll close with this. Enoch and Elijah. What do we know about these two individuals? They never what? They never died. And both of them, if you read these passages here, were caught up, the Bible says. In the Hebrews passage here, 11:5 says they were translated. And in the language of the Greek language, there means to be caught up together, translated, caught up together. So Enoch lived before Elijah. He was in Genesis, and the Bible says that he walked with God every day. And then he was not, for God took him. Now that's the King James language. Took him, caught him up with him. And he disappears off the earth. He didn't die. What does that look like? That looks like a rapture, doesn't it? A catching up. And then Elijah, in his day, 2 Kings chapter 2, says that a chariot of fire swooped down and caught him up. And he was taken up into the heavens. And Elisha there stood and caught his mantle as it was falling. Some of the young prophets came up and said, Elisha, let's get a search party here. Perhaps, like that mantle falling out, Elijah fell out somewhere. And Elisha said, no, he is with the Lord. He is with the Lord. And they kept bothering him. He said, go out and look. And they looked for 3 days, and they never found him. All right? He had been caught up. So we have two. Interesting to me, perhaps these are the two witnesses that appear at the end of the tribulation period, all right? And they are witnesses for Christ, they're evangelists for Christ, and they are sought out, and they are killed, and 3 days later they are resurrected, and they are caught up into the heavens. They disappear. We see this picture of the rapture used over and over again. Folks, we are very, very close. Very, very close. And for the Christian, it's something that we desire. It's something that we want, because God promised us in 2 Thessalonians and in 1 Thessalonians that the Lord would deliver us from the wrath to come. I didn't get into that. I'll get into that some other time. But we're going to look at that phrase. It's a technical phrase in the New Testament Greek. Wrath appears with an article, the wrath. It's a specific wrath. And that word wrath there, when you look at it in the Greek language and see it, it is a time of horrible danger. The time of horrible danger. We are going to be delivered from that. That's the picture that's given to us. Not delivered from all persecution here on this world, but delivered from the wrath that is yet to come. The trumpet could sound today, folks. The voice from heaven. The shout. And then we would be absent from the body, present with the Lord in His presence. We need to live every day with that purifying thought, Jesus could come today. Am I ready? Or am I going to be caught doing something that I ought not to be doing? May the Lord help us to live with this certainty, the truth of the Word of God, and we'll pick up, Lord willing, in the future with more information. Father, we thank You so much for the Bible. Your Word is to be taken literally, historically, and in places where the figurative language is used, we interpret it figuratively. But we allow You to do the interpretation. I pray that You would help us to realize that Your coming is very soon. The table is all set, the servants are ready to go, and we're waiting for the Master to come. I pray that You would help us to live in such a way that we would not be embarrassed at Your coming, but rather that we would be rejoicing and living in such a way that brings glory to Your precious and holy name. Father, be with us as we enter into the worship service this morning. Give us hearts to worship Thee and to praise Thy holy and matchless name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.